What's up, everybody? It's another episode of the National Treasures series here at the 2023 edition, where we come back from National and we speak to people who I consider national treasures. No affiliation with Panini, not sponsored by anyone but me. And today's National Treasure, listen, I'm excited for this one. You are all in for a treat. Bro Namath returns for I don't know how many episodes. You have to be the leader in the clubhouse now, most appearances on a podcast with me. What is this, like 14?
It may be 15, and I'm happy to be here for every single one.
Yeah, I love it. And we'll have you back tomorrow if you're willing. This series has been great for me. A lot of fun chatting with people from all walks of the hobby, right? I've had, you know, CEOs of companies come on. We've had, you know, folks who were set up with a table at the show. Your perspective is going to be as much fun, if not more, because you are there as a collector, but you're also making moves with your cards. You got the TCG stuff on lock, right? And you've been to a bunch of Nationals recently, right? How many was this for you?
This was number two in a row, yeah.
Two in a row. So compared to the last one for me, how is it different besides the fact that there were 120,000 people at it? What'd you see that, you know, that you thought was maybe an improvement? What'd you see maybe that you thought was kind of like, I don't like the last one better?
I think it was much bigger by space. And I think it's because the space was spread out more. So it had this illusion that it was bigger. Whereas last year, you felt like you were on top of one another walking through. I like the setup of last year better because you had all the big boys in the center. Yep. And it was nice to have, you know, when I was at this one, I was like, hey, where's Heritage at? Because Heritage always has the best stuff. If you guys have never been to a National, I highly recommend going for multiple reasons. But Heritage Auctions puts on some of the best displays year in and year out. And it's must see. There's stuff you're never going to see. Yep. You know, Pokemon Illustrator, CDC, I think it was 10. You're just not going to see that anywhere. So for me, like, I'm having to see where is Heritage booths at? Where's Beckett's booths at? Where is, you know, eBay's? Like, it was just so spread out, and they had booths all over the place. I didn't like that personally. I liked last year's better, the way it was set up. But Breakers Pavilion area had more going on here because last year I felt like they were out in no man's land. Yep. And I think they did a good job of integrating them more in the center where everyone had to walk through them.
Yep. I mean, listen, that's they were like the middle point, right? They were like the canal, right? You know, you had to get through there.
They're paying a lot of money, and they should have that traction and that those people walking through foot traffic.
If I were to make a prediction, I would say that the Breakers Pavilion will continue year over year going forward to have a more prominent role in the hobby because I really do believe that that is the segment of the hobby that will increase. You know, if you look like earnings, tech is the earn, like you're investing in potential. I think if I were investing in one segment of the hobby, that breaking area, because that's just where a lot of people are coming in and breaking.
It just depends on what Fanatics allows them to break. Like, is there going to be a point where Fanatics says, hey, you can only break on our platform if we allow you on it. If you're not allowing it, you can't rip any tops product. If that's the case, you're going to see a lot of breakers say, well, I'm just getting out of the hobby altogether. It's a different conversation.
I guess it's something that'll play out over the next 12 months or so, and we'll see, you know, how different the you know, Breakers Pavilion is as we head into Cleveland. So yourself, so I kind of like that. I like that you want all of the corporate stuff, all of the big boys, as you call it, kind of in the same area. This way, you're not kind of spread out the way that they were. Thinking about it now, like there were some booths that I don't even remember seeing.
They were buried.
Yeah. Heritage, you're right. I the last day I was there, I made sure that you know, I walked around a little bit to see stuff. I walked through the Heritage, you know, museum that they had.
Unbelievable. It's always unbelievable. The pieces they have are just stunning.
Yeah, and you're never going to see them again. You know what I mean? You're not going to see
them. It doesn't matter what you like. You could like sports. You could like cinema. You can like TCG. It has everything known to man in an amazing display area.
That's one of the cool things about the National you walk through. I mean, right next to them was Robert Edward, and I stopped over to them. They had a ticket and program from the first World Series ever.
Oh, that's cool.
Stuff that you just don't see, you know what I mean? Because no one was saving that. No one knew back in 1903 that this was going to be something that they would do every year for the next 120 years and so on. Like, it didn't have the pomp and circumstance to it yet because nobody knew if it was ever going to happen again, you know? But
the Kurt Cobain guitar?
Yeah, I saw that at Harry. Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, it's just – that's a cool piece that, you know, doesn't get talked about enough. Just the stuff that you get to see there. I walked the floor. I saw two John Hancocks. Now, not somebody else's, not my John Hancock or you, like John Hancock's actual John Hancock. Two of them.
OG.
Yeah, like the guy whose name becomes synonymous with the signature.
I was talking to a buddy of mine who's never been to a national. He's into TCG. He's an actual player. So for him, it's very foreign to go to card shows. And I said, listen, man, and he sells a lot. He does a lot of volume and reselling. But he's a gamer himself. I said, you have to go to the national to experience how big this industry really is. I can sit behind a laptop, I can sit behind my phone, and I can see it on social media. But the moment that you lay your eyes on it, you feel it, you're in it at the national, it's completely mind-blowing. It's like, you know, when you go to a car show, like I think it's the one up in Detroit, the big one they have, and they have all the new releases. This is the same concept for the national. All the new toys that big boys want to show you and concepts are coming out with, they want to display that. And that's on there for you to see.
I mean, it's a perfect design, and it's heading towards more like Comic-Con, more kid-friendly. At least that was my takeaway from, you know, from this hobby as well. A lot more stuff there. You know, the Topps booth was packed.
Trade nights, the kids' trade nights for TCG. They did a great job.
So talk to me about it, right? Because this is your stuff. How was the TCG representation at the National? And I asked this because, I mean, I've been to a bunch, and, you know, the first couple I was at, it was mostly, you know, like you see the first, like, 20% of the show is just vintage. It's a lot of like baseball memorabilia, a lot of baseball, a lot of vintage, you name it. But you kind of see an updating of the inventory and the folks there. Did you see more TCG here than last year or no?
I was a little disappointed. I was looking for some TCG displays for, you know, booths and vendors and stuff, dealers.
Yep.
I think I saw three or four.
Okay.
One person had a really good display. It was awesome. He had some really nice stuff, some Black Label, recent, you know, modern, some vintage. He had some really cool stuff. But that was it, you know, that I saw. And again, I mean, like we said earlier, it's such a massive show. There's just no way that you're going to see every single table at the National. It's impossible, especially when you're doing everything else you're doing with networking and meeting people. It's just very difficult. If you're going to look at tables, you have to dedicate 2 days and a lot of Advil and a lot of water to get through that. So I saw like four tables that had some stuff. I didn't think it was represented well. I think that there was people that wanted to see more. Case in point, look at the TCG trade night that Diego threw. It was packed. There's a line out the door to get into that. I think that there needs to be more representation. I think there needs to be more vendors or bigger companies, maybe like a Bandai or someone along those lines that should say, hey, I think there's an opportunity for us to continue to spread our awareness and go maybe to the National Sports Card Show. It doesn't mean that you're going to get everyone, but you're going to get a lot of eyes there. I mean, a lot of people ask me about TCG at the National. I've never touched it before. Right. I think if they got there, if they can get one of those sponsors to be there, I mean, that would be huge. I mean, they're at Gen Con this weekend. So Gen Con's a big thing. So we had National last week, and then Gen Con's this weekend up in Indianapolis, I believe. And Gen Con is a TCG con.
Who's Gen? Should we know who Gen is?
I don't know where Ben's at. Ben, Jerry, Gen, I don't know where they're all Jerry. At.
Okay, it's good.
So they have the TCG thing going on this weekend. And maybe they put all their focus into that. But that's for players.
Yep.
That's where people are going to play the game. So Lorcana has their first tournament this weekend at Gen Con. Their test decks. I know everyone's probably listening to this, knows about Lorcana coming out. Everyone on the moon and sun knows about Lorcana coming out. So they're having their test series this weekend. One Piece is having a tournament. Dragon Ball is having a tournament. I think White, like all these different TCGs have tournaments at Gen Con. I don't think we need tournament play at National. I think we should have a representation of TCG at National.
Is anyone playing Pogs?
I wish. I have a whole bunch. You and I can get into that.
Let's go.
Oh, they actually, they grade some. PSA grades some of those original coins from Pokemon.
What don't they grade? What, I mean, we'll grade it.
They're grading Pops now. They don't grade VHS. That's Beckett's thing.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if I have any sealed VHS. I was in my basement yesterday. I found the sealed Scarface DVD from the, you know, one of the original ones. I don't know if that's worth anything, but I never opened it.
I had the Scarface set.
Yeah,
the original
one of those like multi disc.
Yeah, and then it had like the little movie screenshots that are on like stock paper. Yeah, those are cool.
See, so I mean, maybe I'll grade that. Who the hell knows?
There's a money clip in there. When I was in eighth grade and that came out, I thought it was cool as hell, and I had the money clip. I had no money to put in it, but I thought it was cool as shit.
Because he had a money clip. He was like walking around with an empty money clip in his pocket.
Like you know, Tony Montana would have had.
Yeah, the TM, little Tony Montana. That's, I mean, that's fun stuff. All right, so you're at the National. I will tell you, you know, so there's not as much TCG for you to, you know, you to find there. We've talked to, you know, people who run auction houses. They tell me a successful show is meeting people, maybe taking in some consignments, you know, making sure that folks know who they are and they have, you know, the stuff out there. We've talked to, you know, dealers who set up, and a successful show for them is, you know, be able to make sure they pay for all the rooms that they had to book for their staff and the hotel and the table, and then also making enough profit on the cards. What's a successful show for you? What was, you know, what makes it, and was it successful?
So for me last year, my expectations were just to kind of feel it out, right? My first time, like, okay, what is the National? How big is this? Meet people that I have been communicating with for years on social media that I've never met before, like yourself. I've never met you until last year. That was the year to have the introduction to people that I've communicated with, build relationships. I wanted to sell some stuff. I wanted to cover at least my expense, my airfare and my hotel. If I could do that, then it's a complete win. Not necessarily what I was looking for last year, but I really wanted to take as much in as possible, meet people. And I did that last year. So going into year two, it was less of, hey, Cage, this is Bro Namath. I'm Brandon. Nice to finally meet you. It's more, Cage, what's up? Give you a hug. You know, how's your family? Catch up. And I did that with multiple people. And
you brought me a Porsche. It was just one of your extras. It was great. I drove home from Chicago in it. It was great.
My daughter that she drove. It was classic. It was easy to carry on the plane. I'm glad that you enjoy it.
It was great. I love it.
So this year was a little bit different outlook. I was going to look to network a little bit more. And sole purpose really was to grade in person. I was pumped for that.
I mean, the grading in person is huge. I mean, I've talked about that at shows. I mean, different price points, you know, different kind of grading, but you take advantage. Did you grade with anyone other than Beckett or just Beckett?
I did not, just Beckett.
So talk to me about that. Beckett for TCG, still the go-to, still the gold standard, doesn't matter?
I'm going to say it doesn't matter. I think there's people that may have a lot of common cards that they may send to SGC or some of these other places, CGC, to get lower price points. But if you have a big card, you send it to Beckett. Like, there's no two ways about it. You chase the BGS10 gold label, and then obviously a black label is king and creme of the creme. So that's what I look for. That's what I chase. I only collect Beckett TCG. I do have some PSA Pokemon, and that's because some of the older PSA stuff presents better in PSA slabs, and those PSA collectors or Pokemon collectors like them in PSA slabs. So that's why I have those, but it's not that many.
So you went there looking at grades. You took some raw cards. You also had some graded cards looking at bump. Talk to me about it. Tell me your Beckett grading stories.
So I think one of the things that people fail to realize is that Beckett does the GCR, so graded card reviews. Mm-hmm. And they're a fantastic opportunity to take advantage of at shows. So if you were to send a card in right now to Beckett, you would pay for the normal grading fee, even though it's a BGS 10 or a 9.5. You'd pay the $140 or $100, whatever it is. You'd send it in and say, crack if black label or crack if pristine 10. And if it doesn't, they'll send it back to you. But the good thing about getting sent back to you, if you didn't hit it, is that they'll tell you where the error is. Hey, look, there's the centering left to right's not making it in the 9 into the 10 category, or there's a back corner. Here it is. We'll circle it so you see it. Or you may get the bump. And for me, I play the odds. So if I send in 19 cards, it may cost me, you know, $2,000 to do it, whatever it may be. But if I can hit two or three of those in black label, what does that card turn into value-wise? Well, if it can turn into something that's huge, it's well worth it, right? The risk, the gamble to do that. So it's a different element to the grading of the gambling now. Now you say, okay, how can I GCR this? It may have been undergraded way back when standards were a little bit different, where that may be. I've done my homework. I don't see the centering's off. So the GCRs are great. And then the in-person obviously is good as well. But it's cheaper in person to do the GCRs at a show than it is to send it in. I think it was like $70 for one day turnaround.
That's amazing. Yeah. And you don't have to worry about shipping. It's in your hands. And, you know,
there's all these insurance woes. So if there's people out there, which I know there are, that are hermit collectors and they're terrified to send their prized jewels in the mail to get graded, go to the National.
Yep. I tried. I tried two cards that were gold tens. I was hoping to see, you know, one of them is a perforated card that the edges were 9.5. And I'm like, okay, guys, what's the story here? Let's get the four tens on this one. Let's get a black label. No can do, Mr. Cage. I was not able to bump any of mine. And I'm sure the same thing happened to you. I'm sure you submitted some gold and there were no black labels, right? Is that what happened?
It has happened to me in the past. It did not happen to me at the National.
Ah, so you were able, you had some success?
I did. I went 3 for 19 on black label bumps. It just so happened to be the two of the three were to finish out first, second, and third place paper trophy card from last year's Dragon Ball National Championship. So now I have a full 1 through 3 set in black label, which is just nuts. I was so pumped.
And you have a buyer for this? No, you wouldn't even consider it. You're just keeping them.
I am keeping them. Well, Dragon Ball just had a huge announcement today that they're doing online play where you can rip packs online and do integration, different card designs moving forward, kind of like when Pokemon changed from Wizard of the Coast design to like EX. So there's evolution happening in the game, which is a great sign for collectors moving forward. So I'm pumped where the space is right now.
People were wearing, you know, shirts. I saw Dragon Ball Z shirts at the National.
We had, you know, old Goku.
Yeah, I mean, if Spin has it, it's got to be cool. You know,
that's what I said. I mean, I need a dissertation on all of that. Give me a write up on Dragon Ball.
So just so that folks are clear on, right? So, I mean, people do National different ways. You know, some folks go there to try to pick up Grail cards. Some people go there to trade, you name it. One of the things that Bro Namath brings to the table here as a National treasure is on-site grading, on-site, the graded card review, right? So they, you know, they call GCR, right? You can take a card that is, you know, a 9.5, but it's one shy of a 10, and they'll review it for you. Now, doesn't mean that it's going to get bumped, and chances are it's not. But if you are somebody who thinks that card, all right, they were too harsh on the edges, they were too harsh on this. The key is, and I got this on mine, they're going to tell you why it's not. You get a piece of paper on it, right? So think about this from a grading standpoint. I will tell you, I tried to bump at the National a couple years ago, a Charizard first edition 9 to a 10. The cleanest 9 I've ever seen. Cleaner than half the 10s I've seen. Paid well for it. Perfectly centered, great card. And I tried to bump it, and PSA actually came out with a little explanation of on the foil, there was this tiniest little, like, you know, like hair looking like scratch. It was like a millimeter. That's what's going to prevent it from being a 10. I'm like, okay, at least I got an explanation. And I sold it 4 minutes later. So, done, nice and easy, right? Beckett, not only getting the subgrades, but now you're getting an explanation as to why that subgrade. So, you know, they gave me, here's a little, the surface was the 9.5. Here is the surface. Here's where it is. Little mark. Here you go. You
can see a little sticker that has a square blank front, square blank back of the card, and they'll circle where the issue is. If it's centering, they'll draw you arrows where the centering's off, and if it's edges or corners of surface, they'll circle where it's going to be on the card. It's great. I mean, listen, sometimes you need to get rocked in the chin to say, hey, you're wrong. This is where the card's issue is, and this is why. Okay, cool. Thanks. I can walk away with that.
I mean, it's something, right? I mean, how many times do we say, I get a card that was submitted and, you know, wow, they graded this wrong, or it's just somebody just picked a number at random and threw a dart at the wall. Well, with this, and it's not that expensive, you're right. I mean, it's a reasonable price, especially because you're not paying shipping and return shipping and all this other stuff.
And the insurance.
You're getting told, here you go. This is why, right? And you leave that still pissed. Damn, I would have liked that black label. But you at least understand, you're given a reason as to why. And I think that's, a lot of people don't know it exists. You know what I mean?
They really don't. I've had conversations with people that have been doing it for years. They have no idea that GCRs exist. So hold on, you can do that? I'm like, yeah, you can.
Yep. So they don't, fun they stuff.
They don't advertise it enough when it's not at a show, though. I will say that. They advertise it. Show, but they don't when it, not other
did
show.
You pick up any cards there? I mean, there wasn't a lot of TCG. Did you pick up any raw cards and try to grade them?
I didn't. I just bought a sports card today, though.
Oh, let's see it. Let's go. People love the show offs.
All right. All
right. It's a Black Label, everybody. Black Label. And a Black Label Jordan. That is gorgeous. Old Fleer.
Yeah, man. And that I'm not even a Jordan guy. Everyone knows. And you know what? It's going to be funny. I'm going to get this card. I'm going to post it. And I'm going to get so much crap in my inbox. Oh, what happened? You couldn't get a
look. Well, so listen, be smart. When you post it, I'm showing off my new pick, but I'll make it clear in the first post. I purchased this to have trade bait for better LeBrons. Just make sure you write that right in there, and then you're good. You're not going to get any kind of heat. I only purchased. And by the way, so I'm going to ask you about Flowers in a second. I'm going to give Flowers. Oh, man. I'm going to have to find the guy's name. Somebody brought me over to him. It was somebody who was a Kobe collector and huge Kobe's. Kobe, lots of Kobe's. And looking at the case, Kobe. And then there was a LeBron Jordan dual auto out of 15. And I'm like, well, what are you doing with this? And he's like, some of the people who have the Kobe's that I want also collect LeBron, or they also collect Jordan. I bought this. I don't want it, but one of them might. So you have to have a cool trade bait in there to get the stuff that I want. So
I never looked at it from that perspective. It's pretty brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I walked away like, holy cow. Well, I mean, it's weird spending probably $40,000, which is what this card costs, on something you don't want, just to have trade bait to get something. That's like next level chess kind of thing.
Yeah, he also could have used some extra Kobe's. Because nowadays what I see, and more so in TCG, I don't know so much in the sports because I haven't been selling and dealing with sports as much as I used to. Everyone's trying to limit their cash exposure, and everyone's trying to do cash and trade. Yep. If someone's asking $20,000 for something, I'll give you 10 cash. I'll give you $10,000, some liquid cards. Can we deal? Yep. And it seems to be the going theme right now.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. All right, so that guy who remains unnamed until I could find out who the heck it was, that's a guy who got my flowers in this episode. I always ask it, who got some flowers for you? I mean, you kind of mentioned, you know, some stuff already, but I mean, was there anybody out there, could be a collector, could be a business, could be anyone who you look at and you saw the moves they were making at the show or the booth that they set up at the show or whatever it is, and you're like, all right, this person, they deserve a little compliment. They did it the right way. Anybody that comes to mind?
I got three.
Ooh, I'll only let you do three.
Okay, good. I was going to say 2.5. I mean, one could be a shorter person. All right. So the first one's Marino. I think he did a fantastic job at the National. And big props to you, Marino, if you're listening to this, you catch wind of this. I thought you did a fantastic job. Your name was everywhere. Everyone spoke about you. The events, the two that I went to, were fantastic. They were great, and everyone had a great time. So flowers to you, sir. You did a fantastic job.
He will, if I could ever nail him down, be on National Treasures as well, because he is a National Treasure. The title of his episode is The Hobby's Social Chair. Yeah. That's what I call him.
He's a man behind the scenes.
Yep.
He is.
In that, getting folks together on the first night, having drinks to a point where, Lameem James may or may not have lost his shirt. That's all Marino's doing. You know what I mean? Like that, it sets the tone for the rest of – you give a photo booth and alcohol, it's going to get interesting.
He did it the right way. So he kicked off with the wedding rehearsal dinner. Mm-hmm. And we had the eBay finishing dinner with the nameplates.
Yeah, Marino and Company. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, it was great.
I took one home. That's pretty cool. It's a collector's item.
Oh, he's gonna be
Marino, I'm gonna give him a flower too. I'm totally piggybacking on this with his Wax Stars company. They had me go over, and I mean, they're set up there with eBay. They're set up there. They had they had wax. They were doing breaks with kids, and they had me set up at a table there, and just kids that walk by. Here you go. Open a pack. We were opening the anniversary, the platinum anniversary, the one that looks like the 52 tops, but mm-hmm. chrome versions.
Yep.
We did hit like a blue sparkle Babe Ruth in a 52 tops. Cool. I was like trying to buy it from him. I'm like, that's a cool card. Like I want that myself. That was pretty cool. But they just kept feeding me wax. Okay, you open. Another kid, open. I'm sure there's video or pictures of it somewhere, but that was awesome because that's why I go to National. I'm handing slabs to people. I'm just giving stuff away. And Marino helped facilitate that. So big thank you to him and his crew, his wife, Mrs. Marina, and Chetna, who was working our butt off as well. So great stuff. Okay, two more. What else he got? I don't know. You might have frozen. I don't know. That's good. I can vamp, man. But you are frozen. You look awesome. You look like, you know, very serious, and now you're back. You were frozen like this, by the way.
I don't know what the hell just happened. Angry? Like that face looks familiar, by the way.
No, now you're good.
There was a lie.
I went on, and I'm like, wait, he's gonna give me the other two, and you were like this.
Yeah, let me, please.
So who are the other two? You got Marino and two more.
Of course, because I'm a snob. Beckett's my second. Okay. I thought that what Beckett did, I said it last year. I got roasted for it last year. Is that I said that Beckett had.
We're going to roast you again.
All right. And it's a lot of bias. I know everyone's listening. It's like, oh, this schmuck with Beckett, all these black labels. I get it.
Well, now you know why you get the black labels. Beckett.
I buy 90% of them, by the way. Okay. So when I hit him, you saw the video, I was genuinely like, holy shit, I actually hit a black label for once. I don't have to pay for this. Again, the same thing that I commented last year, they were on the ground and they were out there shooting content with people, getting the reviews. And you saw a lot of happiness and joy from these people that were opening up these boxes to see what their grades were. They did a great job. Gianni from Beckett, who shoots all their social media content, did a fantastic job. So he's rolled in there with the flowers. Someone just got thrusted into the social media role for them. And I think he's done a great job.
I watched them do it because I was waiting 45 minutes for, 40 minutes for Scott to, take a picture with him. And I watched people, get their I saw a guy hit a Topps Now Wemby at a 99 auto black label. Sick. And they, get the camera out, get the guys, let's go. This is awesome. Do a video.
They were all over the national doing that. And I don't want to name other grading companies, but I just didn't see that same involvement. I think they said how I perceived it was, you need us. Come to us.
Right. Nat was out there. I'll give him credit. Nat was out there.
But he's also part of the hobby.
Yeah.
He collects and stuff and knows people. So it's a little different. But I think Beckett employees were trying to say, hey, look, we need you guys for us to work together. So when you're doing these reveals, we want to see that and experience that with you. I think that's cool. I know it's kind of gimmicky, but I think it's cool because they're the ones that have really been turning that into their thing every year at the National. They did it last year. But this year they went to a different level with the video content.
Well, here's what I'll say about that, right? And this is the National Treasures Series 2023, the Hobby with Cage. It is sponsored by Cage. It's sponsored by me, right? So I can say this. I can say, one of my sponsors is calling. Let's see who this is. Hello, Beckett. You want a sponsor? Okay, that's fine. You can sponsor it. There's no problem. I'm about to say something nice about you. I'll call you back. Okay, so a lot of fun here, right? It's. I can say positive things. A lot of the grading companies did good stuff. Beckett, the best thing they did was do nothing. And sometimes it's okay to do nothing. And that doesn't mean they did nothing at the show. A lot of companies make a mistake coming into something like this thinking they have to make a splash. They have to do something that's a headline grabber. This way people are focusing on them. People are paying attention to them. And last national, it was the new slab with the new like Beckett gold star and everybody had the shirts and we're going to put this out there. And people were like, that's the new slab. And then Mint Collectives, we got the new grading scale. People were almost waiting. Okay, well, what's Beckett going to do? What's Beckett going to do? They did nothing. But you know what? You're now giving them a compliment because people were not focusing on what announcement they were making, what t-shirt they were making. They're focusing on their grading cards. There's a line of people who want you to grade their cards and we have the reveals and you guys turn their stuff around and a lot of people and that's what your business is, right? Your business is taking in cards and grading them or reviewing the cards. That's a success. That's a win for them, right? You don't have to try to manufacture a win that turns into a huge loss. So I give them a lot of credit too.
Without the cards, there are no grading companies. Without the people wanting to grade, there are no grading companies. Giving respect to the people grading the cards in person went a long way. I look at the little things and I thought it was awesome.
I mean, listen, if you want your gold 10s bumped up to black 10s, you probably shouldn't walk around with a shirt with the Beckett guy's face on it saying, have you seen this man? I mean, in retrospect.
Or send 31 Fleer Jordan PSA 10s over.
What do you think of that? I might ask Rick to come on. I haven't asked him yet. He's a busy man. I might ask him. He might just be too angry.
What's the pop on the Jordan and Beckett BGS 10?
Oh, I don't know what it is. I meant to look that up. Somebody told me nine.
The nine? It's something
single digits.
Something small. I don't think we're ever going to see
three, but single digits.
I don't think we'll ever see one happen or pop up again unless it's from a fresh pack and it's like trace that this was from that pack of cards that got opened. So I don't think we're going to see another BGS 10 Jordan. I just don't think it's going to happen. Just like I don't think we're going to see a Mickey Mantle PSA 10 happen again. I think
that's I think what's amazing about it is it would have to be one of those, like you saw Michael Rubin opening, right? You saw Michael Rubin opening with Allen Iverson. It would have to be one of those things where, like,
you gotta walk they it set it up right to get graded. It's just like comic books. You never see nine nines or tens ever happen, right? Unless it's printed and then walked right to go ahead and get graded.
And I think Rick was trying to take advantage of that, right? Because, I mean, listen, a couple years ago, there was a 55 Bowman pack opening at the National, and they pulled a Mickey Mantle, and it graded, you know, I think graded a nine, you know, and it was like slabbed at the National. It was big news. It became a big headline, right?
That was the TV one, right?
TV one, yes, exactly. So you think about it, right? Like, if someone broke a pack of 52 tops and pulled a Mantle on stage – with PSA, Beckett, whatever, all sitting there, and they slid it right to PSA. PSA took it in the back and graded it. Even if it was a nine, like a nice nine, the story is better for it to be the 10 straight out of the pack. We watched it the whole – I mean, just so – I think you're right. That would be the
– I think no matter what Beckett did, there was going to be a story for them. Rick did them a favor. So the story now is – a PSA 10 is not a BGS 10.
That's right.
That's the story. There's nothing more to it. It's done.
And none of them are. Like that. Listen, so I think the same story could have been told had they given him one.
Of course. PSA 10s are beat.
Not all, but so the best of the 31. Like
no matter what happened, they already had their story. It was a gift wrap to them for headlines.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think you get more mileage out of it if you get to have a picture of one in a 10 and say, look at this one. This is the 10. This is the perfect one. Yeah. Rick posts it. People post it. It gets news. It's hard to post a non-story. You know what I mean? It's hard to have the social on a Beckett gold label 10 that didn't become a Beckett label. Like if it were me and if it was, go ahead.
I was gonna say, what you do is if you have a Beckett BGS 10 Jordan, mm-hmm. you just propped my value up a little bit. That's correct. How I look at it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the messaging of it is what becomes important, right? It's basically, you know, Beckett should be out there, you know, advising people that we didn't do this because a PSA 10 is an improvable card. And not only is it an improvable card, but here 31 of them were not good enough to meet our standard for a pristine gold. And
if they did a write-up on that, you know, just kind of touch base on it and say, hey, listen, there's been a lot of people reaching out. We want to just kind of clarify our stance on them. I think that would be cool. And it would have been really cool if they took a photo of each one with the sticker of where the issues were and just did a full write-up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 100%. One of those 31 was mine. I can give you the write-up of what was not perfect about it if you want.
I'll tell you what the story is going to be is when Post Malone sends that card or one ring to Beckett to get put in its rightful slab. That's going to be a much better story.
What happens if Beckett gives it a 6.5?
Doesn't matter. That slab is nasty. That custom slab, oh, it's so sick.
All right. Well, listen, I mean,
it's one more person. Remember, I got the three. I got three here.
Yep. Right. Oh, yeah. Give me one more. And we'll end it with your third flower.
The third flower. Flowers is bouquet.
Bouquet. A big bouquet.
For the Alliance. It's for the Alliance.
The Alliance.
The Alliance.
Your crew. Your crew. Your guys.
And I say this with a smile on my face because I've built really good relationships here. And like I told Cage earlier, going to the first National and meeting these people in person, I have built a great bond and a great network of friends that I will have for a very long time. And without, you know, having us all together at the National was awesome. You know, we had some people missing, but we had a great time. And at the end of the day, you're going to the National to have fun and enjoy yourself. And they made it much more memorable for me.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've said it a couple times during the show. I'll switch it up for yours, but the cards are nice. but the pristine tens are the people you get to hang out with. You know what I mean? The, you know, the gem mint is really just your, you know, the folks you're getting to hang out with, you know, the dinners you're going to, the, you know, the trade nights, the, you know, the once a year, twice a year that you get to catch up with the folks who are a big part of your life on Instagram, you know, on DM, on text.
I talk to you daily almost, yeah, you know, almost. Like you're seeing, I talk to daily for sure. And be able to see them in person and have fun with them. It's awesome.
Yep.
You ride the highs together. You ride the lows together.
So what's funny is you've set it up for a successful show is almost a given as long as you're able to kind of catch up with your friends at the show. And that's an important part of the National.
It's hard to lose when you go to the National without the money mindset only. It's really hard to lose.
I think most people who I've spoken to said they did good money-wise also. I mean, the show, we have 120,000 people there. It's hard not to, you know. Most tables that I spoke to the first day were upset because of their location, but by the second or third day were thrilled because it didn't matter where you were. There was people flow like crazy.
Well, see, that was kind of the other thing. It's like a double-edged sword. I talk about the placement of everyone. You had to get to Heritage. You had to walk through a bunch of tables you would have never walked through. So maybe by design, it's better that way, but who knows?
It's fun. We'll see you soon. You, sir, 15 episodes, 117 episodes, however many you've been here.
People's champ, baby.
That's it. He is a national treasure. Thank you, Bro Namath. It was fun.
Thank you, Jake. I appreciate it.